episode of Blue Blood on the Main Line. I'm your host, Jason Frazier. I have here with Mr. Villanova, Coach Wright. Coach, thanks for being on the show.
Good to see you, buddy. I love your Villanova background. Proud of you, dressed in blue. You look awesome.
Blue is the only way to go, right?
Blue Blood on the Main Line. Who came up with that, Jay Frey? I like that.
Actually, it was something I was talking about with Jeff Goodman. And he said, hey, Blue Blood on the Main Line was coming with different names. And I said, you know what? I actually really like that. And it stuck.
Yeah. That's a good one, man. You can go a lot of directions with that one.
Yeah. So there's a, you know, that with everything and everything else, everyone always talks about a few things. They talk about the Villanova brand, how Villanova has always been great about the way they conduct themselves business-wise and professionally and with the players. And it's always great, you know, just seeing the fruits of the labor that has been put in by yourself and the coaches that came before you. Everyone that we speak to here at Blue Blood on the Main Line, we always say the same thing at the beginning. I recently spoke with Curtis, Alvin Williams as well, Ed Pinckney, Randy Foy, Tim Thomas. And the great thing is anytime you have alumni, regardless of the age disparity, you would think that they either play together or were just a year or two apart in terms of their relationship. And I remember playing in, when I was in school, you were always big on saying, listen, we play for those who come before us. And we, you know, everything that we stand upon would not be there if it wasn't for the players that came already. And we knew our Nova history. And that's just a testament. Can you speak on where did that come from? Why was that so important? How did you know to do that? Because it's said a lot in different schools, but it's not practiced. But here it is practiced.
Well, I'm glad we get to talk about that, Jay, because that, as you know, it's important. And you talked about the brand, and you talked about the culture of Villanova, and you were such a big part of establishing that for everybody when we got here, a huge part of that. And we always make sure that our guys, even to this day, understand what you guys went through starting this, even we go through some tough times, you know? But one of the things that I feel very fortunate in is being the coach at Villanova, because I grew up in Philadelphia and I watched Jack Kraft and Rolly Massimino. I watched them coach these teams, these great teams, and I watched the great tradition. So when I got here, I wasn't thinking about, you know, are we going to win Big East championships? Are we going to win NCAA championships? I really never, ever thought about that. I thought, you know what? We are taking over this great tradition. We are responsible now for this great tradition. And all those great players that came before us and all those great coaches that came before us, they now are following us. And we have to live up to the standards that they built. And if we do, you know, I'll live with the results. As long as we, you know, those guys, all great students, went to class, graduated. Those guys all were tough. They played hard. They all played unselfish. I'm like, all right, as long as we do that, and as long as they're proud of the program, I'm good. That's really all I thought about that. And you, as you know, you guys came in with you, Curtis Sumter, Randy Foy, Alan Ray. You guys were the, and you were the highest rated guy of all those guys, were the highest rated recruiting class. And I wanted to make sure that you guys understood, look, you know, there were great, there was Howard Porter, there was Kerry Kittles, there was great players before you too. So you still have to live up to their standards, and we're still playing for them. They stay connected. And it's so cool, because I remember telling you guys, you're going to be one of those guys one day.
Oh man!
And we're going to play for you. And It's so cool to have you guys come back now and know that we do play for you.
That even that last line, becoming those guys, and how does that feel now that you already were coaching for years prior to Villanova as a head coach at Hofstra, and you had great success there, and here it is, you're at a place in your career where not only your players are grown men and starting families, their kids are going to college. Some of their kids have gone to Villanova. What does that feel like as a coach?
I love it. I love it, Jay. It's my favorite part of this job. Like Doug West was a player here when I was an assistant coach. Doug West was our assistant coach. Now his son is our graduate assistant.
Wow.
I absolutely love it. To see all of your guys, like when I see you guys with your kids, or Timmy Muller was another player. His daughter's here on the soccer team. And just seeing all you guys when you come back with your kids. I love seeing like Dwayne Anderson's on our staff. His two little boys, you know, they wear Villanova jerseys. They wear Mikhail Bridges' son's jersey, you know.
Right.
Just to see the connection of your kids to Villanova is awesome to me. It's my favorite part of the job. And watching you guys with your families, you know, like you guys, you have all grown into such great men and fathers and husbands. And I know we're not all perfect, but I'd match you guys up against anybody in the world. And I just love watching you with your families, you know, you guys, and how about you guys, like, you know, you and like Randy Foy's got all girls, like who,
right,
he's got all
right.
the girls in soccer. I mean, he's a soccer mom, you know,
right.
and he's the best, you know, but who would ever thought of that, you know, knowing, and you know, you play with Kyle Lowry, who would ever think Kyle Lowry would be great? I watch him discipline his little son.
Right.
I'm like, Jesus, you wouldn't listen to me back
right,
then. Like these
right.
guys listen to you.
Right.
It's my favorite part of the job.
Yeah. I can only imagine. The funny part is when you talk about things coming back full circle, I remember recently getting on the team because I'm coaching. And matter of fact, I did it almost every year because here I go with another line. I said, every year, I remember you used to tell us, every year is a new year. It doesn't matter if it's the same personnel, it's a new year. There's new expectations. People are different parts of their career. And I remember looking at the team and saying, you guys think I'm talking to you about basketball? I'm trying to talk to you about being men. And I said, and I paused and I said, did I really just say that? I remember literally being on the baseline. And I remember those moments like, I'm talking to you about being men. And you know, we really got it. And I think it's amazing, the development of everyone. And then also the younger guys who eventually came to Villanova saw that. Malik Waynes was on here, a blue blood in the main line. And he spoke about knowing that Kyle Lowry was a legend in their eyes in Philadelphia. He goes to Villanova. And he remembers looking at Randy, A-Ray, and then he remembers hearing about me in high school and how that played into him going to Villanova and how it all came full circle because he sees everyone raising their family and how he looks at it as he raised his family right now.
That's cool.
How have you been able to maintain the professionalism, maintain performing not only as a team on the court, but just as a program, given all the restrictions and all the setbacks that COVID has presented to everyone?
You know, it is something that I don't think any of us could have been prepared for. For instance, today, Jay, like we just practiced today. So you think about it. We played on December 23rd. Mm-hmm. We took off the 24th, 25th, 26th. We were going to start practicing on the 27th. I tested positive on the 26th. So we had to shut down going all the way back from the 23rd until like December 31st. We practiced one day, December 31st, and then two guys tested positive again.
Right.
So we got shut down all the way. Today is our first day of practice from way back on December
right.
23rd.
3 weeks.
And these poor guys, you know, imagine just be stuck in your dorm room and you got to be by yourself because you can't be with your other teammates. You got to isolate. And they come into the gym and they practice by themselves, no coaches. They just got to be in the gym by themselves. And we practice today and I'm amazed at what a great job they've done at keeping themselves in shape. And it, you know, really what we've talked to them about, Jay, is at the beginning of this year, I said this to them way back when we got here in August, the middle of August, that for the first time and hopefully the only time, I don't care about winning championships. I don't care about winning games. I care about these guys' mental health this year, these guys growing as players and men, getting better individually and growing as men through this experience. And, you know, whatever comes of that basketball-wise, like, you know, I know they want to compete. I'm not worried about that. But part of their mental health is getting them to be able to compete. Like, they're competitors. They want to be out there, you know? So doing everything we can to give them the opportunity to play and compete, they're the decisions we have to make. And all our decisions are based on their mental health, their safety, and giving them the opportunity to compete, because that's what they are. They're high-level athletes that want to compete.
And with all the things that you experience, dealing with COVID yourself, coaching a team that has COVID, how do you see all of this playing out with the NCAA tournament?
It's going to be really challenging, and I think we can pull it off. I think the NCAA has a great plan in Indianapolis. Once you get in there, you're going to have to test 7 straight days before you get in there of negative testing. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get in there and you're going to have to isolate for 48 hours. But I think once we all get in there, if we can, and hope we're fortunate enough to get there and get into that bubble, I think we got a shot at pulling it off. I really think we got a shot at pulling off the tournament. I think the tough part is going to be those couple weeks right at the end of the season before the tournament. If a team gets shut down, then, and you can't get yourself out of quarantine in time, you know, to play in the NCAA tournament, that will be tough. And I think a lot of teams, and we're thinking about this, might bubble for those last couple weeks, just go into our own bubble so that we could be safe and ensure that we test negative and that we can get into the NCAA tournament.
Right. That's actually very smart. And I bet you that's something that a lot of people didn't consider, especially that you got to test for the 7 days. So it's, again, you want to make sure you're right at the end of the season. So how you guys got back on the practice floor. I know you said you was impressed with how the team carried themselves. And if I might add, I remember being the player, because you always been the coach on your end, but as a player under that system, I think the two things that really, really help or really grounds us is, yes, we hear about the stone cutter. Yes, we know about the consistency and the professionalism. And yes, it helps that when you're on campus, the Villanova alumni are amazing. And you get the sense that no matter how good you are in your sport, you have to be a good person, because everyone is so successful at Villanova. Non-athletes are so successful that if you have the poor character, they will look the other way and say, this is not, we don't do that. They're not kissing anyone's hiney for anything. And I think all of that helps. But the two things that I remember as a player was the team was always filled with guys with good character, and we actually loved each other as family. And if everyone knows that's listening, when you have family could get under your skin. Family could be annoying, family on the bad end. But despite everything else, the love that you have sees you through everything else. The love makes you overlook things. And even more importantly, the love makes you go the extra mile and run through walls for one another. And I think that is the thing that allows them. If you're in a gym, you're in your, I can only imagine. I can't say I know what it feels like. I could only imagine what it is to be in your dorm all this time, be that young, and where basketball is life, and you just want to play so much. And then when you go on a court to practice the right way, that's actually going to make you better that day and get better. It's only love for one another and belief and buying in a program and what it stands for that sees you through. And that's a testament to what you have, what those who came before you have done at Villanova, but what you have taken to another level is an understatement, taken to another levels, you know, so great job with that.
Well, you know, you make a good point about it. It's funny. Every time we go into this is our third quarantine we're in now. But every time we go in, And I want to make it clear that the quarantine we had here was me. I'm the one that got it. I got it. So it wasn't the players. They're doing everything they're supposed to do, which I feel terrible about and still do. But when you talk, so we have Zooms with the parents, you know? And imagine that back in the day, Jay. Oh. If we had Zoomed with your mom and everybody and A-Ray's mom and Kurt's mom and every so we have Zooms, you know, and their biggest concern and what they're saying to me is they're saying to me, Jay, what these kids miss the most is just being together. Like, they love each other. They just want to be together. And what they were concerned about is, like, they're being isolated in quarantine. They said that they, you know, it's not great. They can deal with that, but they just want to hang out together, you know? And you guys, it starts with the kind of people you recruit. And if they come from good families where family is important to you, and just like you said, they have good character. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It just means that you make mistakes, you take responsibility for them. You make mistakes, the people around you want you to take responsibility, want you to fix it. And, you know, and that's why the guys love each other, because they come from families that are important to them. And then this becomes their family, and then everybody becomes important to them. And and you mentioned it, it's supported here by everyone at Villanova. They don't care, people on campus, they don't care what kind of player you are. They care about, are you a good person in the Villanova family?
Right.
And we have benefited from that as a basketball program, because we've gotten great people to come here because of that. And then once they're here, they grow into great people.
I think part of that too is, most Nova fans understand about Summer Jam, but really, really share your two cents on what that really means, Summer Jam. And then also talk about you mentioned Zoom meeting with the parents, but you also do Zoom meeting with the alumni. So, like, we didn't sever the connection that we have. So talk about that.
Well, Summer Jam, it's multifaceted. Number one, you know, we do it every other year or every third year with the fans, to keep the fans and the former basketball players and everybody connected. You know, we do games where the alumni play against the current team, or we do carnival. But the real goal of Summer Jam is to keep the players connected to one another and the former coaches, and have an event every summer where we get together. And, you know, you don't have to be on, you know, there's no media, there's no fans on this part when we all play golf together. And you made a great point earlier in this podcast when you said, if you played in 1968 and you were with a guy from 2006, it's like you played on the same team. That's what that whole event is about. You know, you have guys playing golf together from different eras. Their families connecting with each other, and then you have former coaches that come back and stay connected with everybody. And that network, and you know it from your basketball playing days, wherever you would be, whether it's Globetrotters, NBA, wherever you would go, if there's a Villanova guy there, you'd connect to him. Mm-hmm. But that's what Summer Jam is all about, to keep that connected. So we keep reminding each other how important we are to each other, how important this family is, how important this network is. And it's one of my favorite days of the year. And I know all the former players love it. And what's really been cool over the years is we're not really allowed to watch it. The coaches aren't, but I know the players, when the NBA guys play against the current team. Oh
yeah.
That is great, man. And probably Kyle Lowry's got a couple more years in him where he can cheat his way to get the NBA guys to win.
Right.
That's always a great part of it.
Yeah. How about that? Who would have thought, Kyle? was the one that I chose. I think Coach Pinckney asked me, he said, hey, who's your favorite player to watch? And I said, I love watching all of them. And I said, probably if I had to watch one, it's Kyle. Kyle represents, I think, Villanova to the T, in the sense that you go to Villanova, you're going to learn things the right way. You're going to learn what it is to be great. You're going to go against, you're going to have adversity. You're going to smash your adversity, and you're going to supersede whatever expectation that's been laid before you in terms of the different limitations that people placed on you. You exceed them and you do it the right way. I don't think anyone would have thought that he would be the best player in the NBA franchise history, like that, champion. He has the more than a chance. He more than likely will be a Hall of Famer by the time he's done. Well,
I don't know how many people know this. I know people that played in your era know this, but you and Randy, Mike Nardi, Curtis Sumter, like, you guys really have a great deal to do with his success and his growth as a man. You know, you keep saying no one would believe he'd be that good. Well, a lot of people do, because they don't know what you dealt with when he was a freshman.
Oh.
you say nobody will believe. Well, the people that didn't have to live with him when he was a freshman like you did, they don't know. And, you know, they see him now. He's like, and as you know, I am so, so much more proud of the father and the husband. You see him with his kids. His two kids are so well behaved, so respectful. He's amazing with his family. And, when he was a freshman, and I even had to say to you guys, like, I need, this guy's a really good player. He's a good guy at heart, but he's got major issues with authority and being coached. I'm going to need your guys' help. And a lot of times the way when he was young that we got him in line was for me to say to him, like, yo, if Jason Frazier or Curtis Sumter or Alan Ray or Randy, if those guys tell me that you're being a pain in the butt, you're done. And the only thing he would respond to was you guys. And I know he talks about it all the time. I know how much he appreciates and reveres what you guys all did for him. And it is really cool to see him as such a leader and intelligent, respectful guy. How about, Jay, how about on the Olympic team in 2016, Coach K and Jim Boeheim, the coaches, told me at the end, if not for him, they don't win the gold medal. Like, he was the guy that kept that whole team together, right? Think of him playing with you guys.
Right.
He was the last guy to keep us together. Right, we were all trying to keep him together.
Right. He's winning gold medals for the for our country. That's amazing.
You have a lot to do with that, Ben.
And it was good times. It was good times. Challenging times were good times. Times that build a foundation of the lives that myself and that we all live now, which is good. Quick question. What is the update? How is Brian Antoine doing?
You know, he just started practicing also. Jay, you know what? It's so funny. I think this is a little gift from God here today. You're the only player that's ever had, you had more injuries than he did, but the timing of his injuries are just incredible. Like, you know, he finishes high school year, he goes through the whole spring, he can't play because he's got a bad shoulder. And then when he can't get the shoulder checked because he's out of high school, he's not in college yet, he gets here to start the summer, he gets his shoulder checked, torn labrum. So now he has no summer workout, he has no fall, and he misses his freshman year. As soon as he comes back towards the end of his freshman year, COVID-19 hits. So he misses the whole spring, the whole summer. He comes back in the fall, he starts working out. He hurts his shoulder again. And then he comes back from shoulder injury and we go on quarantine again. he hasn't been, he's got the worst luck. Now, no one really would understand that except you. You didn't have COVID-19, but you had so many. How many? Did you have seven surgeries?
I had seven operations. So five surgeries because I had the double knee. I had double knee twice. So seven operations.
The one that blew my mind the most was when you had a knee surgery. You're coming back, you know, battling back from it. We play at Providence. We have a great win on the road at Providence. You play great. We're starting to think, oh my God, we're going to get this guy. If this guy's ever healthy, he's going to be one of the best players in the country. And you break your hand in that game. So the knees are fine. Now you break your hand. It was unbelievable. That's kind of what Brian's going through. I should have you talk to him. And so he's literally like a freshman in the summer of his freshman year right now. But he's got great faith like you, and he's got a great attitude, and it's just hard because everyone expects him that you're supposed to be one and done, and he literally hasn't played in 2 years.
And I'll say the biggest thing with that, it sounds cliche, but when you say the faith, that's the only thing that got me through it. You know what I can liken it onto that make it most understandable is we talk about the stone cutter. And tapping and tapping and tapping and tapping. And you know, it's the hope of it. You know, 100% at some point, one of the blows is going to make the masterpiece. Faith-wise, I just knew, I have encounters with God, encounters. I knew he wasn't just some guy in the sky, was some thought, was some hope. I had encounters with the Spirit, and I knew it to be real 100%, and I knew the word to be real. So at some point, something had to work out. And I think for me, it was a little bit different at the end. I told the story a couple of times. We had a senior banquet, and I can't remember which alumni it was, but you'll probably remember because he had three daughters. They were all dressed up in the Villanova cheerleading outfit. And we're at the senior banquet.
Would it have been Kerry Kittles at the time?
It wasn't Kerry. It was someone else. Right. And what it was, he said, hey, Jay, I just want to tell you something. Because it was all over. And I remember that year, I was devastated. Because remember, I was getting DMPs that year. I remember I was hurt. My senior year was the worst, injury-wise. And I remember at the end, I said, Lord, you told me this was your year. I interpreted when God said this is my year, meaning he says it's his year, God's year, that it meant, all right, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to show everyone you hold on to faith. Look what guys do. I'm going to go to NBA and everything else is going to be great. And then what I found out, what I come to learn was it was the worst year injury-wise, playing time-wise. It was just terrible in that sense. And then an alumni comes up to me. He said, hey, Jay, you have done so much for my family, my wife, and our relationship and our marriage, and then it helped our kids. He said, me and my daughters pray for you literally every single night. And we saw that regardless of what happened, you never wavered in your faith. I remember this line. He said, well, we could have understood that if you kept your faith and then you became healthy and you were blown up like Randy is, because remember Randy was slotted to go highest in a draft as a high lottery, and he said that would have been one thing, but the fact that it never ever came together for you basketball wise as a player and you didn't change, that was impactful. And then he walked away and a light bulb went off in my head, and then I said, ah, I get it. It was your year, Lord, because he you know, we said the first rule is not about you. But I think I'm not saying that's going to happen with him, but what I'm saying is the point is the faith was the only thing that got it through. And if I can give him a line or two to say, it would be that just literally worry about the things you control. Do not worry about the things that you can't. And ask God to grant you the serenity to understand the difference between the two. So
you know what's tough for a young guy? You had to go through it too. Like, you were so highly touted. I tell your story to our guys all the time. And you know, you had beaten LeBron James in high school, his only loss. You know, it wasn't like it was overhyped. I mean, it happened. I mean, you did it. And the whole time you're playing, you know, you had injuries, and people are like, well, all right, he's going to come back from this injury. Everything's going to be fine. He's going to be LeBron. You know, like the expectations of everybody putting that pressure on you all the time. You handled it so well. And, you know, and I think that pressure gets to him sometimes, and it, and you understand that it's hard, you know, cause you're just trying to get yourself healthy. Everybody else, they're not even care to, they don't even care about healthy. They care about, all right, when are you going to be a lottery pick?
Right, right, you know? Right.
Like lottery pick, I can't even practice.
Right, you right. Know?
It's he's handled it so well though, but I really think it's going to work out for him. It's just not going to be on the path that fans want it to be.
Yeah, and you never, there's a plan, and it's always a good plan. It's always a great one when you're in with God. And I think he'll be all right. As long as he sticks to the Lord and his faith, he'll be good. And again, when I say sticks with God and his faith, obviously that requires us to work in such a way that we're pleasing unto God, meaning he's there as a student. He's going to work hard as a student. He's there when he starts to practice, he's going to practice like a madman in a good way. And he's going to work hard. And those opportunities are going to come for him. And he'll make the best of it. So it'll be exciting to watch his progress. Two more things. One, what advice would you give the high school player that, you know, that's listening, or the high school player that always watch and say, hey, I want to, who may have talent, maybe a top 50 player, but they don't understand college basketball. They understand the demand. They understand the professionalism, what is required, because their intent is always to go pro, right? What would you do that? And also that same person who now is a freshman and a little stubborn, you know, they're not completely bought into their system. What advice would you give them to become a better player / person?
You know, it might be the same for both in be here now, you know, just take your situation where you are right now and be the best you can be every day, and keep working on getting better every day. And don't evaluate yourself every day on where you are. Like, am I, for instance, you were at Amityville High School. Am I the hardest worker at Amityville High School? Am I a leader at Amityville High School? Am I living up to all the core values of Amityville High School? Not worry about where am I going to be next year. Not worry about, you know, what social media is saying about me. Not worrying about where I'm ranked. It's one of the things we try to tell all of our recruits. Once they commit to us, and we have four guys in this class right now, and we say to them, okay, now you've committed. Now, I know you're going to follow Villanova basketball, but don't, you know, like, don't. Keep your mindset on where you are right now. Be the best, you know, let's say Jordan Longino is at Germantown Academy. Be the best leader ever at Germantown Academy. Be the best senior student ever at Germantown Academy. Be here now. And then when you get here, then concentrate on being the best here, because the same guy in high school that when he's playing in high school, he's worrying about, always thinking about college and where he's ranked and where he's going to be in college. That guy's going to get to college and he's going to be thinking about the NBA all the time and where he's ranked in the draft. And you never get to be your best where you are. If you could just stay focused on where you are. And if I looked at all of our guys that have been successful here, you were always this way. And you look at the guys you play with, but even recently, if you look at, you know, look at Mikal Bridges now. You know, he's playing great. Mikal Bridges redshirted here, voluntarily redshirted, because he said, I need to spend extra time in the weight room. I need to get stronger. He wasn't worried about where am I going to be drafted. Just be here now. Be the best you can right now, and then accept your destiny after being committed to being the best you can be every day.
Right, right. That's good advice. Good advice, and I hope these young kids take that into consideration, especially coming from one of the top coaches of not only college basketball right now, but in all of basketball, and is highly respected. So, Coach, thanks a lot for being on Blue Blood on the Main Line. We here, we end one way and one way only. I'll start it off and you'll definitely finish it. Once a Wildcat.
Always a Wildcat. Attaboy, J-Boy. Great being with you, buddy.
Take care.
Take care, buddy.